attributes of Brenda. She's an artist, she's a calligrapher, she's an electrician, she's a handywoman, she's a graphic designer, she's an interior designer, she's a gardener, a certified marriage counselor, she's a mentor, an encourager, a publisher, a book writer, and the author of 6 different homeschool workbooks. She's a great cook, a repair woman, she's my business partner, she's a great worship singer, and she's a harmonica player. She's a mighty prayer warrior, she's a tenacious perseverer, she's a homeschool teacher, she's an arts and craft creator, as well as a multi-gifted Bible teacher. She's a true student of the Bible. She's an ordained minister. She's a mother of 4 awesome God-following sons, Robert, Wesley, Michael, and Kevin. Also, we have 2 awesome God-following beautiful daughters-in-laws, Jessica and Jamie. And she's undoubtedly the best granny in the whole world, according to our grandchildren, Luke and Lily. And I could go on and on. Before Brenda was even a mother, she was given a prophetic word that she would be mother of the church. And she has surely fulfilled that description. She's truly the epitome of a true Proverbs 31 woman and mother. And please give a warm welcome to my beloved wife, Brenda Hope Cannon Crane.
I was just hoping to sneak up here and you'd think I was Pastor Bill this morning. That's a lot to live up to. Well, happy Mother's Day to all our beautiful mothers. We have a lot going on. And Kevin, there's a slide I wanted to honor. Carl honored his mother already, but we have a little picture I wanted to show you. The dashing young man in the red jacket, that's Carl. He looks like, Kevin looks a lot like him. And then I'm the little one with the big apple in the chair. Don't let the glasses throw you off. That's my sister. But I'm the little one in the chair, and that's my mother, Jerry. She went to be with the Lord in 2004. So I miss her this day. We have a lot of goodies for you. If you notice this little packet on your chair, last year when I spoke, I noticed a lot of the single guys were taking flowers and extra soaps and things to their mother because they didn't get a card. So we've got your back this year. There's a little crayon. You can color it and personalize it and give it to your mom today. All right? We're looking out for you. Can we have all our moms and grandmothers and great-grandmothers stand up right now? Look at that. Such beautiful women. Well, we have a special treat for you today. My daughter-in-law, Jessica, has made what we're calling the Mother's Day triple bouquet. And she's getting so wonderful at making soaps. And so each of you will have one of those today. All right. Well, also, if you need notes, if you're a doodler, you're going to want today's notes because there's a maze. There's all kind of Mother's Day celebration things on here. So hold your hand up and the ushers will give you those as well. All right. Well, let's get started. You know, over the last several weeks, our pastoral team's been preaching on relationships, and there's no greater relationship than that of a mother and a child. And so we're going to celebrate moms today and the joy that comes with motherhood and the relationship between mother and child. So let's reflect on God's wisdom and goodness and how he designed the institution of motherhood. Our first scripture today is Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. That's on your notes. You notice there aren't any blanks today. We're going to do something different, so hang with me. I also want to say hi to Mrs. Green. She's here today. God bless you. She's awesome. Okay, verse 13. For you created me, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully. That word doesn't mean like, oh my God. It means like respectfully and reverentially. And wonderfully made. Would you circle that word wonderfully for me? Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Recently on Facebook, I read this article by Scientific American, and it was a research about how the mother and child connection is so much deeper than anything that we ever thought. And according to this study, human cells migrate through the placenta from mother to baby, and it lodges in brains and blood and in your organs. And in this particular study, I found out that there were actual cells of men inside of women's brains, and they take up lifelong residence there. And some of them have been there for decades. You're all looking at me funny, but what it means is that there are cells beyond just your DNA that take up residence in your body. And so that got me thinking, you know, I guess Carl's cells have been in my brain for over 35 years, like you said. And the phenomenon is called microchimerism. And what it means that generations of family members can pass through the placenta into our bodies and brains. And it's not just our parents and grandparents. It's from also between spouses and from siblings. So like, for instance, Robert, when Wesley was born, he probably got some of Robert's cells in his brain. And then Michael, he got some of Robert and Wesley's cells in his brain. And then Kevin, he got cells from Robert, Wesley, and Michael in his brain. So that apparently there's no limit to how many people can be in your brain at one time. Isn't God amazing? I just think that's profound, and it gets my mind thinking, you know, well, what are these cells doing in your body? Are they having a chemical reaction that speaks things to you? It communicates to you from other things. So I came up with all these theories. So are you ready for these? I think this could possibly explain how children know when mom sneaks off to the bathroom. Only moms think that's funny. Okay. And it also can explain why husbands and children know exactly when mom gets soap in her hair in the shower. It's like they start knocking on the door at that point. And Carl has such pinpoint accuracy for this now that I now text him and I say, Yaki, that's his nickname. Yeah, Yaki. I'm getting a shower now, and the interpretation of that is, please don't call me right now. I'm trying to get a shower. So it can also explain why moms have this sixth sense when things are just a little too quiet in the house and they know something's going on. And it can also be why children think moms have eyes in the back of their head. I enjoy watching Jessica and Luke now. It'll be like really quiet, and all of a sudden Jessica will go, Luke, what are you doing? And we'll hear this crash off in the distance. And this little voice like, I think I need help. And it can also explain why mothers, when they get on the tippy top of the ladder and they're painting, why children think that that's the perfect time to like torment the cat or create a mural with mommy's $20 lipstick. Or sneak up on the countertop and grab a cookie. Yeah, I hear some moans with that. But we all have some stories to tell, don't we? Yeah. Well, what about the time when your child calls and you were just thinking about them? You ever had that happen? Mm-hmm. And it may also explain why moms have the worst time for calling you. And we actually have a video for this about how moms just, they have a knack for calling at the wrong time. So we'll show that.
Where are you?
Well, the squirrels are back in the attic.
Mom?
Your dad won't call an exterminator.
Can I call you back?
Mom?
He says it's personal this time.
If you're a mom, you call at the worst time. That's what you do.
Where are you? It's very loud there. Are you taking a Zumba class?
Now, this commercial is funny to me on so many different levels, because having been the mother of four boys, and Vicky can relate to this, they all think that they are on a mission to save the world, and mom is getting in the way of their awesomeness. So maybe microchimerism explains how we know when some phone calls are good and some are bad. And it may explain why moms and grandmothers know that specific time that they need to be praying for somebody that they love. We're connected in our innermost being. We're all part of each other. So let's go back to that scripture again in Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Would you underline that word wonderful right there? I know that full well. Now, what pops into your head when I say that word wonderful? Like, you're wonderful. Did you know you're wonderful? Has anybody ever told you, Jordan, you're wonderful? Yeah, he is. Let me pick somebody else. No. Okay. Maybe it's been a while since you heard it, and we can never hear it, you know, too much. And I'll let you in on a little secret. How many know what Instagram is? You have an Instagram account. Well, see, God has this gigantic Instagram account. There's billions and billions of pictures in it. And there's like a million pictures of Steve Duke in there. There's a million pictures of Christina. And, you know, we use our phone and we're like sliding and showing pictures to people. But God is like, you know, for the Hunger Games, how they put it up on the sky, the pictures. He's like that. And he's like, whoosh. And he's like showing pictures. Since the beginning of time, he's had a captive audience with the angels. They're all like, yes, I know. He's like showing pictures. Not really. They love us too. God likes how you're made. He likes Carl's dimples, and he likes Ken's big smile, and he likes Christine's little bitty nose. And ladies, actually, he likes all of your noses. He likes your eyes. He likes your ears. He likes your hair. He likes everything. Can you say, God likes my face? God likes my face. He does, because he made it. And you know what? When we pray to receive Jesus, there's like this big party in heaven. The angels are dancing, and they're not putting on a show like those dumb Super Bowl halftime shows. You know, they're not doing the whip or the nay-nay up there. or the nasty leg or the duff, you know, kind of thing. They really know how to celebrate. By the way, you should look some of those terms up on Urban Dictionary. You won't think they're so cute after you read what they mean. But there's big parties in heaven. You can read chapter 15 of Luke, and it'll confirm everything I'm telling you here. They know how to do it up there. And before you had a you became a Christian, did you ever notice that God kept sending people to you, and things would happen, and just things to kind of draw you to him? He totally sets us up all the time. He's always thinking about us and thinking of situations to get us into where we can love him and know how much he loves us. And a lot of times we resist it because we think we're just too messed up. You know, that how could God do something that great for me, you know, after everything I've done? And a lot of people feel that way, but he really does love you, and he's not surprised by anything that you've done. And there's an old poem from the 1800s, and it says, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And that's a refrain from a poem that praises motherhood as the preeminent force for change in the world. You think about that. That can be good change, or that can be bad change, right? It depends on what we impart to people. But, you know, this type of love and service, it's not just in motherhood. And you know, this month, May, is Teacher Appreciation Month. And I always like to honor teachers on Mother's Day because they do so much. And we're all people of influence. If you're an aunt, an uncle, a teacher, a children's church worker right here at Victory, you probably don't realize your importance in the lives of those children that are over there in that room. The way you treat them will impact them their entire lives of how they perceive themselves, and it's all based upon, you know, how you respond to them. And ask yourself, you know, how do I want this child to remember me when they grow up? What will they think about me? And think about that teacher or that church worker that blessed you when you were little. You know, don't you want to be that person? I want to be that person that they're like, wow, I'm so important. You know, she loved me. And I'm so proud of Jamie. She's our teacher in the family. And all the time on Facebook, lots of times, every school year, her students will post pictures, selfies with her, and talk about what an awesome teacher she is. And I'm just so proud of her. What a testimony that is, Jamie. We're so proud of you. Give her some soap. She needs some soap. And if any of our teachers didn't get any soap, if you're a teacher and you're not a mother yet, hold your hand up. There she is. Okay, give her some soap. Thank you. She deserves it. Few things in life can compare to a mother's love. Her gentle touch as she brushed back that sweaty hair that nobody else would touch on your face, and her kisses and her band-aids for your boo-boos and her soft lap that she said, you know, that when you sit in it, and her favorite perfume and lotion. We remember those things all our lives. We remember our mom's favorite perfume. And it's likely today that some people here, and you never experienced that, and that kind of love. And my heart really goes out to you, because in God's perfect plan, you know, there was no death, there was no suffering, there was no loss. In his perfect world, there'd be a kind mother, tender and loving, and she would impart his teachings to us and help us all develop a very positive self-image. But, you know, every mom tries her best. But we live in a fallen world, and we're all born separated from God, so we have to kind of figure it out, you know, as we go a lot of times. And your mother will never be perfect or measure up to what your expectations are of her. And it's a tough job being a mom and making everybody happy and, you know, keeping the world at peace. But they pulled 100 children, and they asked them, why do you love your mom? And here's a few of their answers. I won't do all 100 of them, but I'll give you a couple of them. Okay. My mom always seems to know when I need help. She loves me and always tells me so. I can call her at any time of the day or night, and she'll always answer. This one reminds me of Michael. Okay, she smells like apples, and I love apples. She always makes my friends feel welcome in our home and makes them delicious treats. She doesn't yell at me if I get a bad school report. Some of the moms are like, I think I did yell. Okay. She gives my puppy nice cuddles even when she doesn't know I'm looking. She's the best cook in the whole world, especially spaghetti. That one reminds me of Wesley. He wrote this awesome recipe in kindergarten called biscotti, where you take this big pot and you turn the stove as hot as the sun. I'll have to share that whole thing with you one day. She tickles me and makes me laugh a lot. She gives me a little wink when I'm at the dentist. Then I feel fine. She has a special way of knowing exactly what to buy for my birthday. She reads me lots of stories before I go to bed. She really smells nice, better than other moms. My mom always knows what's troubling me without even asking. My mom will sit by my bed for a long, long time when I'm feeling sick. She packs me great lunches for school. Sometimes the other kids want my lunch. My mom tells silly jokes, and I always laugh at them even when they're not funny. When I see my mom after school, I'm really happy to see her because I love her a lot. When I'm feeling sad or low, my mom can always make me feel better. I love my mom. When she comes to my soccer games, she gets very excited and yells a lot. My mom has a really funny singing voice, but I let her sing anyway because I love her. Mom always admits when she's wrong. It makes us love her even more. My mom really loves my dad. That makes me happy. She says that I'm pretty, but I think she's the one that's pretty. Mom will always try something new, even if she sometimes falls and hurts herself. That's me. Okay. Sometimes our mom tries to yell at us, but she always sounds really weird, and we all end up laughing. I love my mom because she always has a lot of money in her purse. Been there, done that. Okay. I love other boys' moms, but I don't like them as much as my mom. My mom is a better cook than the others. And then number 100 was my mom rocks. We all love our moms, and sometimes we don't show it enough, so maybe today's a good day to start just being a little more appreciative of mom and just taking a little bit more time with her. And maybe you're like me today and your mom isn't here any longer, and or maybe your mother was never able to be there for you. And like I said earlier, my heart goes out to you because there's such a gift from God. Moms and dads both are such an important part of developing self-worth within a child, who they think they are. And recently, 7 of us went to the Freedom Encounter in Tampa, and it was awesome. One of the things I learned is that sometimes when we're dealing with pain and disappointment in our lives, We believe something that's pretty close to the truth that makes us feel better about ourselves, but it's actually an untruth. It's a lie about who we are or who God is, and we just do that to try to make ourselves feel better. And when bad things happen to us, sometimes other people say, well, God had a reason. He had a reason for that. And, you know, that's kind of hard to take, you know, because it's like, it starts that reasoning as if to say that God's unpredictable or maybe he loves some more than others. You know, it's not really a good reason for explaining it. It's kind of a default answer. I've given it, and maybe you've given it to people before. But what I learned at the conference was that the real truth is that God didn't want that to happen to you. He doesn't like for bad things. We discover in his word that we live in a fallen world and that there's an adversary, the devil, and that Satan is the author of death and the author of destruction. And he's like a cold-blooded snake that strikes at every opportunity in our lives. You know, God didn't want my dad to die of cancer. He didn't want my mom to have diabetes her whole life and have to take 3 shots a day. And I remember her little fingers were so sore from all the blood tests she did for her whole life. She had to do that. She was a type 1 diabetic. That wasn't in God's plan for her. You remember before when I was talking about the perfect world, what a perfect mother would be? That was God's intention to begin with. And I think about that story. How many of you know the story of Lazarus, that Jesus raised him from the dead in the Bible? Well, if you look into that a little deeper, when he arrives there, there's Mary and Martha to meet them. See, he was great friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They would have him over for dinner at their house. Remember that story of Mary? She was getting mad at Martha for not helping, that kind of thing. Well, he was very close to them, and when he got there, they were crying. And then Jesus began to cry because he saw how much death hurt. And he realized, you know, this wasn't my plan. I didn't want people to be sick. I didn't want them to die. And he wept. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's the part that I see. It's like he knew he was going to solve that particular problem in their lives, but he saw the pain and death that a lot of us have to go through in our lives. And he wept about it. He was sad. But, you know, there is something that God can do through the difficult things that we go through in life, and that is to give it a purpose, a good purpose in our lives. I don't know how he does it, but if we ask him and we let him, he'll do that for us. And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to tell moms and grandmas, your prayers are so important for your children and grandchildren. They put the wind in the angel's wings when you pray to go after them. So don't give up. You know, keep believing. Even when you don't see things happening, God's doing things. And I'm convinced in my readings of the Bible and my experience in life as a Christian that we can find joy. Somehow we find joy in helping other people overcome what we've been through, just being there for them and helping them with it. But the good news is there's a new world coming. When we cross over into heaven, it says there's no more tears. There's no more crying. I believe we understand why things happen when we get there, and it gives us peace. And, we get to see our loved ones that are there. We spend eternity with them. God is a three-part being. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he created us in his image. We're a three-part being, too. We're body. Did I say body, soul, and spirit? Or Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. And I compare the Holy Spirit part of God to being a mother, because it calls it our comforter, our friend that lives inside of us to help guide us in our decisions. You know, it's like the supernatural microchimerism. Remember that we talked about it? People are inside our head. That's kind of what God's like. He lives on the inside of us, and he speaks to us on the inside of us. You know, you hear people say sometimes, well, God told me this and God told me that. Well, when you experience, you can really believe it, because there's a tender, sweet voice inside of you that says, go here. It wouldn't be smart to do that. You know, it's little leadings of the Holy Spirit to help keep us safe. And as beautiful as a mother's love is, it can't compare to God's. The warmth and the light, just the beauty of our Heavenly Father. And he made each of us special with a specific purpose. He's the only one that understands us completely, because he made us. And because Jesus came to this earth and suffered in the same ways we do. You think about it. You know, Jesus had a stepdad. He had half brothers and half sisters. His mom probably had a very bad reputation around town. You know, she got pregnant out of wedlock. People didn't understand. And Jesus, you know, he was rejected and horribly tortured and eventually murdered for doing all the right things. Unlike us, who have sin, he chose to do that. He suffered. And I'm sure he suffered some very serious disappointments in his life, just like we do. And he had just had a very short time here on earth, 33 years. That's really young. But as I said, he lovingly chose to do this and to make a way for you and me. You know, no matter what we've gone through or been guilty of, we can still have a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And I just want to encourage you today to enjoy those sweet hugs of your children and your grandchildren. There's nothing like them. They'll be over before you know it. And I think that's why most people are better at being grandparents than parents, because they recognize they've been through it and they recognize this is a short window that I have. And so that's why we spoil them rotten, just so you guys know. Okay? When children, I talk about children as they're like captive. They're like a captive audience because you're bigger than them and you can get those captive hugs from them. You can make them hug you, you know? And then they grow up before you know it. And now that our boys are all grown, it means even more to me now, because every time they hug me, I just melt, and I'd give them the world if I could give them to the world. And it's because I recognize now that they love me because they choose to love me. They hug me because they want to love me. And that must be how God feels when we choose to love him and choose to hug him. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at Ephesians 1:4. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Would you underline that part? God loved us and chose us. In Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Would you circle that part, without fault? And you say, how in the world can I be without fault? God took great pleasure in making you and knitting you together with your personality, your gifts, and your callings. And then he went a step further, and he made a way for you to be healed. He made a way for you to be clean. He made a way for you to be without fault, like we read in that scripture. Let's go to 1 John 4:9. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Would you circle that word, live? That's an important word, isn't it? There's a saying that says anybody can exist, but it takes guts to truly live. How many of you know it takes guts to be a Christian? It does. So the big question today is, are you existing, or are you just living? I didn't say that right. Are you existing or living? That's how I want to say it. Finishing up, I want to leave you with these thoughts. And they're in your notes. We can't truly live without knowing our purpose. We can't know our purpose without knowing the love of Jesus. The process begins with inviting him to take over your heart and your plans. Fulfillment comes when you stick with him. You see that comma there? Would you circle that? That's a typo. And you can use your red crayon if you want to. Be a teacher today. I left that in there so you can have fun. Whether you're a Christian or not, I want to give you that opportunity today, not just to exist, but to truly live. Could you bow your heads with me for a moment and pray with me? If you're here today and you've been going it alone and you've heard some of the things I've said and you're like, I'd really like to know Jesus. I'd like to know this this creator that loves my face, that thinks I'm great. And you know, you can really discover what your purpose is, and you can truly live. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand for a few seconds just for me and Jesus to see? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now maybe you're here today and you've been going through a rough patch and you've kind of doubted if God really loves you. A couple things have happened and you just like some prayer. I want you to raise your hand too, because we all need to refocus every once in a while on the goodness of God and how much he loves us, and get a little bit of prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. Okay. Everyone pray this prayer after me, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Please forgive me for letting my desires get in the way of my relationship with you. Help me to see my purpose, stay focused, and to live my life in a way that makes you happy and me happy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sin and setting me free from the things that have held me back from my relationship with you. I invite you to fill my heart with your love. Take over and help me truly live. Today, I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I want to tell the world how much you love me and how much you love them too. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.